from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Definitely. I feel like any ball come my way, I can catch it. Honestly, just a drop. Focus, drop, gotta look the ball in and make the play.
All learning experiences. You know, I know Mitchell said that he could have given him a better ball, and Keon's gonna say he could have caught that. So if we can clean up a little bit of both, I think we're probably celebrating the end zone and everyone's staying calm. But Mitchell's also playing on a bad knee that drive, and I commend him for toughing it out. That's not easy to do, and he stuck in there to help his teammates. And yeah,
Keon Coleman and then Josh Allen on the throw from Trubisky to Coleman right around the goal line. Incomplete. Talk about it with Joe Marino.
Trubisky was playing on a bad knee?
Yeah, he hurt his knee on the...
I mean, I know he hurt his knee, but...
He scrambled.
He played after?
Yes, that's the story. Jeremy and Joe joining us on the Western Hotline. Mr. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. One of the signs of football season and the turning of the season. The weather gets cooler, the leaves change, and Joe Marino joins us on a weekly basis here on Wednesdays. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Listen, you retweeting me on that Coleman catch, I'll tell you, that took it to another level. So thank you and not thank you for that.
Listen, living the Josh Allen life, Joe, I feel like we don't get to spat as much as we used to on should it have been caught versus what should the throw have been better. I mean, was the last time that's really... got hardcore Allen and Charles Clay? Like, how long has it been since we've really done that?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good poll there, Joe. That Charles Clay play. Yeah, was it Clay? Could he have come back and made the catch, or could have Josh put a little more on it? But here's a comment on that Keon Coleman play. I think there's a little bit of nuance that we can invoke, and in that when you just extrapolate that play, catch the ball, right? Like you could say that the right thing to do would be to catch the ball. But I think it's perfectly acceptable from a fan's perspective to say, you know what, I can live with him not catching the ball because maybe he would have taken a hit. But we don't have to go back and say that it was a good thing that he didn't catch the ball. Take your silver lining and move on, but come on now, catch the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, with Coleman, you know, Joe, one thing I thought during the preseason, and I think this is just the nature of the new guy, the position that we've all been paying a lot of attention to. Bills fans are very eager to see the best that Coleman can offer. And there have been some highlights of that at training camp. And if you were there, you saw a lot of what he could put on display. But two preseason games, the Bills, despite their best efforts, they just haven't really been able to get that going yet. And that doesn't really have to mean much for the regular season. I think, you know, the controversy around that play might just be a symptom of impatience and really wanting to see what Coleman can bring this team.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to frame it, Jeremy. I mean, so much being made of this Bills wide receiver core and the transition away from Diggs and Davis and new players stepping in, and what does it mean for Josh Allen, and can he still put up the big numbers? So I definitely feel that urgency, and Everybody wants to see Keon Coleman be this, you know, premier receiver. Maybe that doesn't happen right away. You know, he's a very young player. And I think what's funny about that play in particular is that the least of my concerns with Keon Coleman are his hands, right? Like, just that's probably his best trait. He's got exceptional hands. So I think we could probably have a better conversation about the fact that he presented an available target and got quick separation. That's probably the most meaningful thing from that play, because I really just don't find myself very concerned about his ability to catch the football with consistency.
Let's talk about the receiver room. You know, Coleman, he's a part of it, of course. We trust his hands. Curtis Samuel, the injury to him, turf toe, week to week. Joe, in your experience, you know, players along the way dealing with turf toe, is this going to be something we have to monitor through the season? I know, without the actual medical diagnosis itself, yeah. It seems like one where if a player has it at any point, it can be the kind of thing where it lingers, and it limits push off, it limits jumping. It really seems like a tough injury for a receiver to battle through.
Yeah, and wish we knew the severity, right? There's three different grades of turf toe, and so wherever Curtis falls in line will tell us more about, you know, what the outlook is here. And you see a lot of wide-ranging outcomes for turf toe, but I think everyone generally feels like it's something that can linger. And so that's definitely a concern for him this early in the season. And obviously, he's got a pretty decorated injury history, so you kind of felt like this was part of the deal when you signed Curtis Samuel. But from what he offers to this offense is just a different dimension, right? And it'd be tough to build this offense with him in mind and all the unique things that he can do, and then all of a sudden that's just not on the menu anymore. So hopefully, you know, it's a lesser grade and he's good to go and he can be, you know, what this regime has signed him to be, because there's nobody else that really steps in and say, oh yeah, he can do the Curtis Samuel stuff, right? He's just a very unique player.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, did they have anybody that strikes you as able to do the Curtis Samuel stuff? I mean,
even some of it.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's the thing. Like, if you, they say they have these receivers with these varying skill sets, and that's very much true. You know, if you lose MVS, you might have somebody that could do that. You might have thought that could be Claypool, but he's, of course, hurt too. So, you know, the way this receiver core has shaken out, you had maybe concerns about it going in. The injuries, I would imagine, are more concerning for you.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess on one hand, I think maybe the adjustment is as simple as we just don't do that stuff that Curtis Samuel does, and you run other things. But yeah, it's hard to find the one for one. I certainly couldn't talk myself into KJ Hamler, Damir Bird. I mean, he's such a new addition. It's hard to have any expectations there. But certainly a unique player, not just within this Bills receiver room, but kind of within the league. And there's just not a lot of players that you feel like can come in and bring all the versatility as a runner, down the field, quick separation, gadgety type stuff. I mean, pretty unique guy that brings a different dimension that I'm sure the Bills would like to have in full throughout the season.
So if he is going to be any threat of missing week one or be limited week one, Joe, in terms of how they'll use their top three guys, because the top three guys now, if he's hurt, are going to be Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins. Hollins and Coleman being on the field at the same time, just, I guess, how would you expect that to look if those three are the ones that are getting the most run in the first game?
Well, I still think you'll see those three players, but I think the Bills are going to run a lot of 12 personnel, and you'll probably only have two receivers on the field for probably a good percentage of the plays, if not maybe half, maybe more. So I think that's what they're going to lean into, and, you know, obviously we'll get into Arizona in time, but I feel like the Bills, from a talent perspective, should have enough on offense to create enough stress for Arizona that you feel like, all right, if Shakir needs to, or excuse me, if Samuel...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
It's kind of take that one off and see you Thursday night in Miami. You kind of feel good about that. I think Arizona will stress the Bills in some different ways, but I still feel like their defensive talent's kind of lacking, and the Bills should probably be okay if they had to get through that game without Samuel.
Preseason game number two. Joe, it's funny, like, the way that we've adjusted expectations for, in a Josh Allen year. This team might go the full preseason without an offensive touchdown, and I don't feel like there's that much concern about it just because we know the regular season and even the playoffs are where it matters. That game against Pittsburgh, it's no touchdowns, and the Bills' defense looked pretty darn good. Did you, looking back at it, think it's something they did in this game, just playing sound, or were there big concerns about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, two guys that take a lot of sacks, that hold the ball an awful lot? Was what we saw in preseason game number two a little more about Pittsburgh or a little more about Buffalo's D?
It's probably a little bit of both, right? I mean, Pittsburgh, goodness gracious, just it's been a while since they've been able to figure it out on offense. And what's funny is their offense last year was terrible during the regular season. But if you remember the preseason, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers were unbelievable. I think they scored on like almost every drive that their starters were on the field. Their defense was destroying everybody. And then, you know, their offense obviously really plummeted throughout the course of the season. And so just a lot of miscalculations at quarterback. And I don't find myself very optimistic about what they have right now. But I think that, you know, you still had a starting offense that was out there against the Bills that were certainly shorthanded on defense without a lot of important players in that game that are going to start and be factors. I think you could take a lot of satisfaction in the week-over-week improvements. It seems like the team played with a lot more juice and energy and made a lot more plays. I thought the defensive line was really terrific with how they played the run. They created pressure. I thought the back end was really secure. It was just a more cohesive effort all around. And I think, you know, obviously the score is probably the least of the concerns in a preseason game, but I thought you had a lot of individual performances, whether it was Javon Solomon or Joe Andreessen or Daquan Hardy, guys that Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver, Taron Johnson, all of those good individual performances is what I'm left coming away with feeling optimistic and certainly the week-over-week improvement.
Andreessen, of course, the big story, not just here in Buffalo. I mean, he made it to Brian Baldinger's breakdowns. I saw Derek Klassen and Mina Kimes. And, like, nationally, people notice what Joe Andreessen did in this game. And I think there's, with the injuries they've got, there's a real conversation about whether he can make the 53.
Yeah, I do. I think that's where the conversation should land. And certainly he's earned more opportunity, and I'm sure we're going to see him a ton on Saturday against Carolina. But with how he's performing on top of the injuries, and it's not just Milano. I mean, Spector's banged up. Morrow's banged up. Ulofosio just feels like an IR stash type guy like they did with Justin Shorter last year. So I think the Bills are going to roster six. They've rostered six linebackers every year under Sean McDermott. Now, last year, of course, Baylen Spector went on an IR after the 53 was initially set. So they ran with five linebackers for a little while. But six is the number for the Bills at linebacker. And I think there's going to be a spot for Joe Andreessen, especially because of the kickoff coverage piece of this. And one of my favorite things about watching Andreessen against Pittsburgh was how good he was playing off contact, stacking, shedding blocks, disengaging, making plays. And he was doing it against James Daniels and Isaac Siamalu. Those are good NFL starting guards. And that translatability to the kickoff coverage to be able to stack, shed, make plays is going to be really valuable in addition to providing depth at linebacker. So I think the path is clear, and certainly if he doubles down against Carolina, it's going to be pretty undeniable that he deserves a spot on this 53-man roster.
What about Rousseau, Joe? It was only about a quarter, maybe a quarter and change, but, I mean, hard to ignore. I mean, that right tackle for whoever 77 was for Pittsburgh, just yeah. I don't even know that. Like, this is Rousseau, right? It's not like he's pulling off these spin moves or he's ducking under. It's just, in this game, he was running at 77, and the guy just couldn't stay in front of him.
Long arms, heavy hands, and Broderick Jones, their second-year starter, first-round pick last year, just Rousseau was able to really take advantage of a lack of ability for Broderick Jones to get his hands engaged with good timing. And that's where that length really comes into play for Rousseau, where he can just outreach people, and then he's got a lot of power and so much wingspan to be able to finish. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people, myself included, are hopeful for a big breakout from him, maybe the Ed Oliver-type breakout this year. And I think it's undeniable that he's been a great run defender, but can the pass rush, can the big-time pass rush show up? And that was a good sign. And I think, really, before he had that broken bone in his foot last year, it was week four, I think he suffered that, wound up sitting out week five. I mean, he was playing good football. He was on one heck of a tear, and then you could tell that foot injury kind of slowed him down a little bit. But if he can stay healthy, and I feel like he does have the potential to be one of the most impactful defensive linemen on this roster.
Did you get enough of Dorian Williams to have any sort of comment on how he looked in his first preseason game since the Milano injury?
Yeah, I think this is when you bring in Pittsburgh as the opponent. I think this is where you can kind of find yourself not getting a great look, not a great evaluation opportunity for Dorian Williams, because he continues to be a very strong downhill player. I thought that showed up in a big way with that game, of course, against the Bears. The concern is coverage. And the thing about Justin Fields and Russell Wilson is neither one of them are very like rhythmic players that are going to keep things on schedule and take advantage of anticipatory throws between zones in the middle of the field, right? So the things that you're concerned about with Dorian Williams, this was the perfect matchup for that stuff to not be exposed in any way, shape, or form. So I think I had a conversation actually on today's episode of Lockdown Bills. I have Arthur Motes on, and we talked about the ability to grow in zone coverage. And Arthur kind of talked a lot about thinking about Terrell Bernard and the jump from year one to year two and how things kind of slow down a little bit. And he will be more able to kind of just trust the scheme and play faster and not think as much. And so, let him prove that he is going to have issues. Don't assume that he's kind of stuck where he was last year. I know there's been some concerns to this point in the preseason, but Dorian kind of gets the opportunity to showcase himself, and we'll see if he can grow. And I think that time that he's had now to develop and find some comfort in the scheme should position him to be better. But certainly I don't think the Steelers were a great evaluation opportunity to kind of measure where he's at.
Joe Marino, Lockdown Bills podcast. You can find the Lockdown Bills podcast through the Odyssey app, everywhere you find it. And Joe's kicking it every day with the Lockdown Bills podcast and joining us every Wednesday. Joe, thanks. We'll chat again after preseason game number three, which is kind of going to look like an old preseason game number four, right? Like,
yeah.
This one's going to be, I don't know.
It'll also be after cutdown day, because that's going to be next Tuesday, right? I don't know when. Do we find out about that on Tuesday, though? I don't remember how that works.
Tuesday at 4 is when they're due, right. And then you just never know if the Bills, they make everybody wait. So,
yeah. But usually it is that night,
Wednesday
I think.
Wednesday morning, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll talk then. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Lockdown Bills podcast. Highly recommend it. Jeremy and Joe with you, 803-0550.
Do we have any preseason tomorrow? Do we have to wait till the weekend? Tomorrow, Colts and Bengals. And Bears and Chiefs.
Caleb Williams.
They're not playing.
He is
right?
Not playing, no.
Caleb Williams and Mahomes. How will we see more coverage of those two shaking hands before the game than the actual game itself?
That's a good one. Yeah, quite possibly.
Is Caleb Williams going to be working on his behind-the-back pass with Mahomes, like, pregame? He's just going to copy everything.
How early is too early to get triggered over a 2025 NFL mock draft?
Is August 21st.
Too early?
Would be my answer.
It's too early? Okay. So you're saying I cannot be triggered by the mock draft I just saw posted at ESPN?
What is that going to mean? Someone's got a mock draft out there. It's got the Bills drafting like...
Hold on. I want you... Let's play like a Tonight Show game or whatever. You write down right now what it's okay for me to be triggered about on this mock draft at ESPN.com. And when we get back, I will tell you...
I got an obvious answer here.
What it is. Not running back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was writing
Something
down.
Else.
They're not drafting a running back?
Not running back. Something else.
Okay, it's probably not a punter.
When we get back, we'll chime in on that quickly. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.